Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, we'll focus on state high school basketball playoffs in both the Pennsylvania and the Washington, Maryland, and Virginia regions. Our in-studio guests are the District 11 4A champion Nazareth girls basketball team. Plus, DMV Elite's Marcus Helton talks about the magical and surreal season for H.D. Woodson. The Matha, a recap of last night's Westfield Potomac game, and previews of this weekend's semifinals and finals, and more. These and more topics on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Chris Michael and this is RCN Sports Talk. We're here every Thursday live starting at 7 p.m. talking local, regional, and national sports issues. We have some great guests lined up for tonight's program, so let's get to it right off the bat. Welcoming in via the phone line from the Washington, D.C. area, the editor-in-chief of DMVElite.com, who does a great job covering high school sports in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area, Mr. Marcus Helton. Marcus, welcome back to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. Been enjoying following your stories all winter long at DMVElite.com. It's been a great season. There's been so many different storylines. I'm not sure where to start, but I know I have to start with H.D. Woodson because they have had a phenomenal season for many different reasons. I want to start, though, by asking you about the one blemish, if you can call it that, about their season. One of their championships a few weeks back, for people that didn't hear the story, H.D. Woodson won one of their championships on a Thursday night at the Verizon Center, and one of their players, Kevon Montgomery, was shot after the game, and he was in the hospital. Yeah. Fortunately, it turned out to be just a flesh wound, but he came back and was playing that weekend in the next playoff game. So, Marcus, we'll start with that. What an unbelievable story that was for H.D. Woodson and the people down in the D.C. region.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. H.D. Woodson went ahead. They finished 33-0, first D.C. public school to go undefeated since 1985. And, you know, some of those kids, public school D.C. kids, they come from not the greatest areas in the city. So they had just finished up defeating Gonzaga, WCAC Power, a game that everybody kind of looked forward to as a real test for them, because they came into it 31-0, but people still didn't really believe they were legit.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're coming off this huge win against Gonzaga, and then they head home that night, and unfortunately, luckily Kayvon came out okay. He wasn't the target. He was heading home, and some stuff broke out in the neighborhood, and he got grazed by a bullet. I mean, thankfully nothing more serious than that, but, you know, it kind of shook everybody up and scared everyone, but he was able to come back Sunday, and they played Friendship Collegiate in the D.C. Sports Athletic Association championship game, and he started that game, scored the first basket, in fact, and then won. So, I mean, it was just a great way to end a tremendous story for H.D. Woodson.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable season. In fact, they're kind of, I think, the epitome of not getting the respect at the beginning of the year. I didn't see them ranked anywhere before the season started. They were eighth in the country when all was said and done. What was that like as you watched them have success after success and then win championship after championship?
It's funny. I mean, you knew they were going to be good because they returned basically the whole team from last year. Last year they won the first D.C. Interscholastic Athletic Association, DCIAA. They won the D.C. championship for the first time in school history, mm-hmm. and they brought everyone back from that team. So you knew they were going to be pretty good. They picked up a couple transfers, a kid named Keon Boyd, another kid named Derquan Washington from Dunbar High School. So, and those kids were pretty good, so you knew they'd be nice pieces. And then just the run they went on was pretty impressive. And then beating some of the teams that they beat out of conference was impressive as well. But like I said, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people kind of look down on, you know, the public school kids, and they don't give them really the respect that they deserve in comparison to their, WCAC counterparts. And obviously the WCAC is the best league in the country, so, I mean, that's no shot at them. There's a reason. But, it really took them beating Gonzaga for people to say, whoa, this team is pretty good. And there's two kids on the team, Keon Boyd, who I'd mentioned before, and Antoine Walker.
Yeah.
senior forward who picked up offers from Georgetown after that game, and that's how impressed that they were. So, I mean, D.C. public school kids, public schools as a whole, they have talent, too. It may get overlooked in comparison to, you know, the private school kids, but they can ball, too.
Yeah, and you mentioned Antoine Walker. That's a great story himself. He's now 6'7", had a growth spurt a couple years ago. Didn't start playing basketball until his freshman year. You mentioned Georgetown. Any other word on where he might be going, where he would like to go?
Well, it's, the Georgetown offer is brand new. I'm sure he's excited about that. He came in to that game already with double-digit offers. Georgetown is by far the highest. But he had, Duquesne, DePaul, a bunch of mid-major programs, low-major programs, things like that. So I'm not sure. I mean, I've heard he might go to prep school, do another year, try to add some more muscle and work on his game. He might go to school right now. So I'm sure he's undecided. But, you know, it's nice to have options, for sure.
One of the other games I know you covered this past week, last night, Westfield and Potomac, with Westfield winning that game. What were your thoughts on that game, and tell us a little bit about both teams?
Sure. Well, for Westfield won the Virginia State Championship for 6A, which is the largest division in the state.
Yeah.
And ironically, it's funny that they beat Oscar Smith in the championship game, who was also the same team they played in football. So Westfield versus Oscar Smith was the state championship matchup for football and basketball, and Westfield won both of those. It was the first time since 1921 that the same two teams met for football and basketball. So it was kind of crazy. But Westfield capped off a great season. They almost won the state championship last year. They lost pretty much at the buzzer last year. So they were able to come back. A lot of those guys were motivated to come through and finish at this time, and they did. And earlier in the day, Potomac won the 5A state championship. That was their second one in 3 years. Basically an entirely new roster than the one they won 2 years ago with. So, I mean, that kind of speaks to the depth of that program, the success that they've had. Mm-hmm. So those are the two area matchups for the two area teams that went down and played in championships yesterday down in Richmond, and both of them came home with titles. So that was cool to see.
Yeah. Another team that always has success is the Math, of course. They once again won the Maryland private school title. I know they're great every year, but there's just seems to have different levels of grade. I know a couple years ago they had two or three players that went on to play at the professional level. So could you talk a little bit about the Math and how good were they this past year?
Well, sure. You know, the Math is always loaded with talent. This year they had a McDonald's All-American and Markel Fultz is going to Washington. They had DJ Harvey Jr., who's one of the top 10 national ranked prospects in that class. I mean, they've always got talent. This year was kind of, I won't say a disappointment, but, you know, they ended up making it to the WCAC championship game for the third year in a row and dropped it. They lost to a really hot St. John's team that was led by Anthony Cowan, who's going to Maryland next year. So they were able to bounce back from that. I know those kids were disappointed. And they were able to bounce back and win the Maryland Private Schools tournament here this week, beating Capital Christian in the championship game. And right now they're out in Cumberland, Maryland, Western Maryland, at the Alhambra Catholic Invitational. And they're hopefully, if things work out for them, they're itching for a rematch with St. John's, who's also in the tournament. So I know they would like to get that matchup and finish out on a high note. But
Any other players of note this year in the DMV region that really stuck out? I know one name I heard quite a bit was A.J. Robinson, a guy that has great range. I think he hit a half-court shot in the playoff game in the CBAA playoff game. I don't think that was a championship, but one of the semifinals. But Robinson, any other name that really has jumped out at you this year?
Yeah, I got a chance to see A.J. last night, actually.
Okay.
I saw Middleburg lost in the Capital Beltway Athletic Association Championship to National Christian. He didn't have his best games, but it was a strong senior season for him. I know he's getting looked at by a wide range of schools, ranging from low D1 to D3. I mean, D2 programs are all over. So I'm not sure exactly what he's considering now, but he's got to be one of them. Alani Moore, French collegiate, he's probably one of the guys who had one of the bigger seasons in the area, transferred from Montrose Christian when they decided to kind of take a back step with their program. And he had probably one of the biggest seasons of anybody in the area. I mean, he took Friendship Collegiate to the public school or the charter school championship in D.C., and they finished as runner-ups to H.C. Woodson in the DCSAA championship. And he's headed to Temple next year, so he should have a great college career. He seems pretty much like a steal for them now.
Our special guest is Marcus Helton, DMVElite.com editor-in-chief, does a great job covering high school sports. I know you have a busy weekend coming up. Maryland, they have the semifinals and the finals. over the next 48 hours. Can you give us a little bit of a preview and your thoughts on those matchups?
Sure, no problem. Yeah, state semifinals are going on right now at Xfinity Center, University of Maryland. Two games have already happened today. Steve Milton Wright and Stephen Decatur have both punched their tickets to the championships on Saturday. Two more games tonight, four games tomorrow. We're wrapping the whole season up on Saturday. Should be some pretty good matchups. Yeah. One of the things that's been really cool about this year have been, you know, there's been some new teams. In the, there was a lot of upsets, and there's pretty much chaos in the regional playoffs. So there's a whole lot of teams that people haven't seen before here in the state semifinals, which it's always cool to see new faces and for, you know, new programs and kids to get these experiences.
That's great. All right, and before we let you go, too, your thoughts. You mentioned the season's coming to an end down in D.C. this weekend. What's next for you? And I know you're very busy with camps, and you have news throughout the offseason and updates on where kids might be going and what schools are interested in which players. So what's next for you after the season wraps up?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it really never stops for us. On March 26th, we're doing an unsigned senior showcase. So all the guys who, you know, finish their careers and still don't really have the options that they wanted or are looking for, you know, prep schools, junior colleges, four-year colleges. We have, you know, coaches come in from the Division II level on down. Division I coaches really can't make it. They aren't allowed to by NCAA rules, but, you know, we still give them scouting reports that we send out. We've got that coming up March 26th, and then we've got a couple AAU events that we're doing. And then I like to get out and, you know, cover other people's events as well. It's just a chance to see a lot of kids during the summer that I didn't get a chance to see during the season.
Yeah. And people can check it out, dmvelite.com. Follow you on Twitter as well, right?
Yes, indeed. At Marcus Helton, MarcusHelton.
All right, very good. Marcus, thanks so much for your insights and for joining us, and continued success with the website and all your programs down there.
Oh, no problem, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Marcus Helton, the editor-in-chief of DMV Elite, does a great job covering high school sports in the DMV region. All right, let's introduce our in-studio guest, along with the co-host of the program, Mr. Joseph Craig. We have the District 11 4A champion girls basketball team, Mr. Rich Bickert, and we're joined the first half of the program by two of the star athletes and two of the star talkers, too, I'm told. Kevin Brugler and Jessica Dernan. Aww. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. And Rich, thanks for coming in on Sports Talk again. This is becoming a habit every few years.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. He likes it.
It's always a
good
thing.
They won, right?
That's right.
It makes it worth putting up with Joe and myself.
That's right, yes.
You know, I want to ask you first about this season, because you had just two returning starters. And in previous years, you had some more starters. You were kind of picked. I'm not sure where you were ranked preseason, if you give that any credence at all. But I mean, this was a year in which you had some youth, you had some younger players. What was your thoughts heading into this season?
Well, we really weren't sure. We lost six seniors from last year, so we knew we had some spots to fill in. And then we ended up having two seniors get hurt the first week of the season, pretty much. Yeah. So we had to do some rearranging, some different spots for different players to play. And once they accepted their roles, we started playing pretty well.
Jess and Tessa, I'll ask you, when did you kind of feel that this was a team, everything was starting to come together, and you had a real shot at winning a district championship?
I think when we really came together was our win against Central this year by one, because like last year they beat us by one in triple overtime, so coming out we were like, we had a target on them, and winning by one again really put us together as a team.
Yeah. Tessa, was there a moment for you that seemed everything come together?
I mean, we started the season off with a first loss, and I think that brought us closer together because we knew we didn't want to lose like that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that interesting how sometimes a loss, I know you never want to lose, but sometimes you can bounce back. What was your thought after that loss? Did you think they learned from their losses and were able to improve?
Well, I think we did, yes. I mean, we went down there probably thinking we were going to win, and they did some things, and we just did not play very well the first week, or the first game, actually. And we learned what we had to do differently, and they changed some defenses on us that we have gave us trouble all year, actually. So we kind of knew it was coming, but it was still a matter of adjusting to it and adjusting to the new players and a whole new group of players, which took some time.
And that was in Norristown?
Yes. Is that Norristown?
Norristown Butte, yes.
I mean, you've already mentioned that word adjustment a few times, and really you should deserve credit because, I mean, you look back the last couple of years, three of the district championships you've won. You've really done it with different combinations. One year you had kind of four guards. The other year you had more post players. This year you had changes because of the injury. How tough is that to make those adjustments and still have success?
Well, it was a little harder this year because we didn't know what we had coming in. We had a couple girls that came back out that didn't play last year, so that filled in some spots for us. Mm-hmm. We had three girls that played a lot last year, Tess and Jess and Alexa. So we had three players that had been through it before, so I think they led the way, especially once we got to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They were through it the last year, so yeah. I think that definitely helped.
What was your thoughts as the two of the returning players coming back this year? What was your thoughts coming into the year, and how did you get kind of everyone on board?
Well, I knew there was really high expectations, especially winning the district championship last year, and that a lot of teams were going to have targets on our back, so I knew we had to come in and we had to work really hard to get to where we wanted to be again this year.
Mm-hmm. Like what Jess said, we do. We have a target on our back, and we lost a lot of leaders last year, so we needed new people to step up and replace their roles on the court.
Now that you have a bigger target now, you want to
see even bigger.
It's not going to get any easier for the kids coming up next year. Let me ask a question. A common thread that you're consistently, you've had pretty good basketball for over the last number of years. Mm-hmm. What's that attest? I know the easy answer is, oh, well, we have great kids. And your feeder programs, where are they coming from?
Well, I've had the same staff for 10 years that I've been there. We've had a couple changes, but even those people are still involved with the system. Mm-hmm. So we start our system at the middle school and pretty much grow from that spot on up. We've been fortunate to have some pretty good players. Plus, I think our summer program has really made us a better team over the years. We go to Messiah team camp and play some very good teams out there. Actually, Cumberland Valley, we played out there the last 2 years. We were two-time state champs, so I think that makes a big deal for out there. Mm-hmm. And we play 10 teams out there, and they're all 10 teams that went to state playoffs, so it's good competition. And it shows us what we need to work on real quick in the summer, so we know going into the year, you know, where we're going to be.
Hmm. Yeah, and summer's become such important part of getting ready for the season. Before, it was just kind of like a throwaway, or maybe you try some different combinations. But now, I mean, there's so much intensity as far as what you look for over the summer and trying to build. Do you like the change and the more emphasis on summer ball?
No.
Most don't seem to like it.
I think some of it's fun. You know, some of the outside tournaments especially are fun for the girls, but it gets to be long, I think, for the girls and for the coaching staff. So we try to hold our summer down, try to make them commit to three things that we want to do. And we try to shut it down by third week in June or July.
Yeah, give them a break.
When we come back from Messiah, because we got girls that play fall sports and they need some rest too. Sure. And I think some of that's happening nowadays in sports is that they don't get any rest.
There is no time. There's no downtime.
There's no
really
downtime.
Right. And to compete in the level you want to compete at and in the league you're at, you got to go 7-8 months out of the year.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because everybody else is. Yep. You know.
Yeah, it's you know, if you want to stay at the top, you got to pretty much play all summer or all fall, all summer, all spring.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And it's tough on the coaches because you don't get a break. The old days, coaches weren't allowed to coach kids in summer leagues.
Yeah.
Nowadays, that's changed. So you guys are really working, you know, year round.
I wanted to ask all three of you about the league in general, because it seemed there was a lot of diversity this year in that you have teams like Northampton and Liberty that had two really good players, and Parkland and Whitehall, those were more ensemble teams in terms of scoring, and Easton had some great players all over the place, but they went through injuries, so they had to kind of change their makeup too. Was it tough getting ready for teams? Because even if you see them at one point in the year and then see them again later in the year, they've made some changes and made some adjustments. Was it harder to go through the league this year?
Oh, most definitely. You never really knew that was like what was coming. And like we did like our run-throughs before practice and everything, but half the time didn't really pay attention.
But we had that on tape, right?
We already knew that.
And it's always
do you
like,
do that with parking cars too, by the way?
You weren't supposed to. Don't worry.
I had to ask that question. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't.
I didn't get specific.
You're interrupting her again. Jess, time is yours. Just shut his mic off.
Yeah. We definitely, like, we really need to, like, crackdown. Like, we knew what the key players were coming in because, like you said, you know, like, everyone. And you play them so many times that, like, you know all their sets and you know all their, like, everything, like, about them. You even know their names, so they can't even, like, say names on the court anymore. So, you, like, you just really have to, like, comes down to just playing basketball.
Tessa, was it harder for you? Because a lot of teams would key on you, too, so I'm sure they threw different defenses at you, too.
Yeah, it was really hard, like, coming into each and every game. You never really knew what to expect. One game, one player would be on, and the next game, another player would be on. So it's shutting down those key players and even watching the other players that they have on their team.
Yeah, Rich, was it harder for you? Because you had to make a lot of adjustments a lot of times in the game, too, because coaches would change what they've done in the past.
Yeah, it was our division especially, yes. Our league in particular, is very good. So it gets us ready for the postseason. But our division was just brutal this year and will be next year also. And it was hard because you played them two times, you know, around, and we ended up playing them in playoffs in the league, and then you'll end up playing them in districts. So it by the time you get to districts, everybody knows each other's plays as good as they know their own. So it makes tough. You've got to adjust on the run, and whoever makes the most shots that night usually ends up winning the game. You know, it's up to the kids at that point, really.
And that's a problem for District 11 because, you know, we're not a big district. I mean, when you look at the Quad A schools, which I guess next year will be 6A, but the Quad A schools, you know, you really only have probably 18 or 19 schools that are Quad A. You know, when you get into District 1 and places 3, I mean, they've got 20, 30, 40 schools. Yep. So your chances of seeing some of those teams in the playoffs that you didn't see during the season are much greater in those districts as opposed to District 11.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why those teams are usually fairly good, even when they're lower seeds, as we found out this year again. The eighth seed from District 1 is usually very good.
Yeah.
And it's because they have so many. We don't have that type of teams up here. We got a lot of AA and AAA teams that are very good, but it's a different type of game.
Yeah, every couple of years they rotate that. Is it next year? Aren't we due for a change-up where they mix it up a little bit and you go up north or something like that?
I'm not sure.
Seems like you've been playing Philly schools for a long time.
Yeah, we've been playing that kind of schedule the last 4 years that we've gone, I believe. Actually, we had District 12 when Erica played, so it did change sometime along the line. So,
All right, our special guests are Rich Bickert, head coach of the Nazareth Blue Eagles, District 11 4A Girls Champs, joined this half hour by Tessa Brugler and Jessica Dernan. We have some other players that are standing by. We'll get to them a little bit later in the program. I'm told they're very talkative. So at some point, most of them are very talkative. One's a little quiet, but we'll work on her a little bit later on. But right now it's time for the trivia question to give people at home a chance to win tonight's prize. And this one more tailored to our D.C. audience. And if you were listening to Marcus Helton's interview at the outset of the program, you heard him leak out the answer, too. So you have a shot at this one. Name the year the last D.C. City public school boys basketball team finished the year undefeated. H.D. Woodson did it this year. But prior to this year, name the last team from a public city school on the boys' side that went through their year undefeated. And here's more information on what and how you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
All right, one more time. Tonight's question, name the year the last D.C. City public basketball team finished the season undefeated. Caller gets priority. You can email us as well with your response. We'll take some emails and some more comments coming up with our special guest, the Nazareth Girls basketball team, right after this timeout.
So here's your chance to have an impact on our show. If you're watching us during our live Thursday show airing, you can call us from anywhere free of charge by dialing 1-844-234-4488. Send us your comments, questions, and opinions or ideas for future shows right now. or at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might just read and respond to your comments on tonight's show or on a future episode. You can also get even more sports conversations, videos, sports highlights, and commentaries by checking out our sports blog at rcn.com/rcntv. Feel free to bookmark our blogs and check back often for updates. And stay tuned. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk is coming your way in just a moment.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Rich Bickert and members of the Nazareth girls basketball team. We're joined this segment by Tessa Brugler and Jessica Dernan. We have a whole host of characters at our alternate set, too. They're getting ready for Joe's take. They're getting ready to throw things, and they're running out of chairs so they're not seen on camera. So
there they are. There's a picture of them.
At some point, we're going to pass the mic around and have some of them weigh in on some of these issues, too, as well.
Jessica's
going to direct this, too. So, Jessica, you're just calling some names here. We have several emails we have to get to as well. But first, I'm told there's a very special guest on the phone lines. Kelly from Nazareth. Kelly, welcome to RCN Sports Talk. Hello, Kelly.
Hello. Kelly, are you with us?
I was told it was a special guest. All right, we'll get
it back.
All right, we'll try Kelly a little later. Let's get some emails here. Kelsey, this is a kind of a bizarre question, but seeing the girls here, I think maybe I understand this. Kelsey wants to know, where is the team's favorite place to eat?
Applebee's.
And why is that, Jessica?
Well, at Applebee's, Lex really comes out of her shell. She's always extra fun at Applebee's.
Or Red Robin.
Oh, Red Robin. You can never go wrong with half-price apps.
Alexa, just grab that mic anytime you want.
Anytime you want to defend yourself, just feel free.
She's the quiet
senior. She's the quiet senior?
Yes.
All right. Another email. This is from Jeff. Who's the toughest team you faced this year? That's kind of a tough question.
Probably the last one.
Either Central or Parkland, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, Parkland's always good, and then Central felt good beating them after the triple overtime.
Getting back from last year.
Yeah.
Tessa, how about you?
That's hard to think. I mean, we played a lot of really competitive teams this year.
Yeah.
We had Northampton, Liberty, Central, Parkland, Conestoga.
I would think the last team you played has got to be right there.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to save that for later on, asking about the loss. Richard, I want to ask you this, because a couple weeks ago on this show, we said, and I said this, and some people disagreed with me, I thought this was the one of the most balanced leagues overall. I mean, Liberty was a number 8 seed. Central Catholic didn't even qualify for the league playoffs. I don't even remember that happening before. This seemed like, from top to bottom, it was just the most balanced league, certainly in some time.
Yeah, I think everybody knew that coming in, and I think it may be the same way next year.
Yeah.
A lot of teams had a lot of players coming back last year, so we knew it was going to be difficult. Again, especially our division. If Mayes doesn't lose the white girl to an injury early, would have threw another girl or another team in the mix in our division, which should have made it even harder.
Yeah.
So it was well balanced. I mean, our division, I think everybody beat everybody except for Mayes, which just had some injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, even Parkland, Liberty, and Eastern.
Yeah, Whitehall, knocked off a couple of those, knocked us all off, actually. I think they beat us, Northampton, and Parkland throughout the year. And, Northampton beat Easton, or Northampton beat Parkland then in the district. So it was a balance. I mean, we all kind of went 1-1 a lot of places. And Parkland got through the season okay and then got a little... little dumped on the playoffs, which happens.
I remember someone telling me over the summer that they thought Easton, they didn't see any of the other teams, but they said that Easton looked on paper and seeing them play that they were good enough to go undefeated. They lost their first game of the year and they had a couple losses too. So
I think the injuries hurt them.
Sure.
But beginning of the year, coming into the year, they were definitely the best team on paper. And what I saw in the summer. I mean, they were way ahead of everybody else because they had everybody back but one player.
All right, we have someone from our gallery here that wants to weigh in and have a comment here.
I'm the manager for the girls team. I think Easton was probably the toughest component this year. They really put up a fight. We had a good fight against them, too, and I really, really appreciate their team. They're a very tough component in my eyes. Parkland was really tough this year, too, as well. Parkland had a good defense. They have a great team. And I think Northampton as well. Northampton with AJ. She's good at driving, and she knows how to shoot. And most of the girls on the team is really good. That's it.
I can ask you one question. You seem like the only sane, one of the sane members of this team. what about these ladies behind you that keep running off camera?
Well, the girls are a little shy, if you want to say that.
Now be careful. You know you have like 3 more months of school.
Yeah, I know.
And he's back next year.
Actually, we got one more person here.
All right. And who is?
That's I'm Grace Stevens. I'm the redhead of the team.
Okay. Little red.
I actually think our freshman team was kind of hard to beat because they got Talia Brugler, who's going to UConn. So you better watch out for her. She's a beast.
Well, that's good to know. And what? By the way, I heard you sing. So what do you sing?
Oh, God.
Everything. National anthem.
National anthem.
So come running down the bleachers.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, really? Oh.
I know you're good at flying airplanes.
I've
seen that.
My aerodynamics are kind of...
Well, we didn't say designing. We said flying.
Yeah. Just save that for Joe's take. You'll want to use it then. Trust me on that. Let's see. One more email I have to get to before we get back to the phone lines. Andy Weaver said, can you announce my 31st birthday tomorrow? I can't believe you're 31 already, but absolutely. Happy 31st birthday and many more, and thanks for a great year of supporting Nazareth and all the teams during the year. So I know is a big part of your program too. So.
Oh yeah. Always there.
Part of everything.
Always there. Yep, he is. Yep.
All right, let's try to go back to the phone lines and see if we can have Kelly from Nazareth. Kelly, are you with us now?
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
My name's Talia.
That's the UConn from UConn.
Oh, really?
It's Talia.
Well, I have to speak to our phone screener because you told me you were Kelly.
That's my sister.
Right, we understand you have you may have an answer for us.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, we need a year.
1985
is correct.
Very good.
Good job. Now were you wait, Joe. Now tell us some stories about Tessa.
Oh gosh.
Oh, she's my sister.
There you go.
That's great.
So who's a better basketball player?
I don't know.
She's a good sister.
Now what grade are you in?
7th
grade.
She's tough.
Well, I'm impressed that you have the courage to even speak on television in 7th grade. That's very unusual. And
my mom made me call.
That was great. That was great. All right, kudos to your mom. That's great.
Very good. Yeah, my mom makes me work with Joe. So
we all have our.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and hope to see you in a couple of years. I know that's a pretty talented basketball family.
Great job, man. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Right. My mom makes me work.
Tessa, any equal time? Do you want to say anything about your younger sister?
That's her sister.
She's a good basketball player. She's going to be good.
7th grade?
She's 7th grade, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Taller than me.
You're going to have like a whole team of Bruglers here.
You go one-on-one in the driveway and stuff?
Yeah, I beat her.
Playground? You beat her. Well, you better beat her now. At about 4 more years, it might be a different story.
Probably.
All right. Before we let you go, first of all, Tessa, I want to ask you about MVP honors. What does that mean to you? And I know a lot of people on this show in particular, about a month ago, we had Megan Delgrani really had some praise for you, as a lot of people did. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. I mean, knowing that we're in such a competitive league, anyone could have won the MVP. It was a great accomplishment. Mm-hmm. It's great. Yeah.
And a question for both of you, because I know other teams have tried to target trying to stop Jessica and then let Tess beat you, or vice versa. How tough is it when teams are trying to focus on you, and you look up at the end of the first quarter, you don't have any points, or you have 1 point at halftime? Do you feel pressure that, okay, I got to score because I'm one of the main scorers, or are you kind of comfortable that you can kind of relax and you don't panic? Because we've seen some scorers over time that they don't have any score points at halftime, and then they start panicking and rushing shots. But how do you kind of go through that?
It really depends on, like, the game and, like, the situation. It can be, like, stressful at time, like you said, but there's always Coach there, Coach Jared there to yell at you when you don't score and tell you you need to really step it up or you're going to sit the bench right next to him.
Oh, so threatening is good.
It really works.
But I would think that, you know, first thing you look at is what's the team score. If your team's winning and you're not scoring many points, but you've got a couple rebounds, you've got a couple assists, it's really a matter of who's leading the game. You could go for no score in the whole game, but if your team wins and you've got a 3 or 4 assists and 5 or 6 rebounds, I mean, you've done your part.
Yeah, I think our team really works good together. We always work to get, like, the open person. And, like, that's one thing I could say, like, about our team, like, than other teams. Like, we always find that open person.
Because in this league, teams can shut real good players down. Mm-hmm. There's good enough defensive players on almost every school that if you really want to concentrate on shutting somebody down, you can probably do it. It's all a matter of what the other four do.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're going to wrap up this segment with Tessa and Jessica by playing a little game of thumbs up, thumbs down. This is where we ask all of our panelists to identify someone in the sports world and single them out for doing something really good or maybe something not so good. I'm going to stay positive today, though, and go to the town of Catasauqua and give a thumbs up to Hannah Edwards, who was just named to the 2016 American Family Insurance preseason All-American softball team. This comes on the heels of being named to the Max Preps 2016 preseason softball team. Hannah is now named to 9 All-American teams during her high school softball career. An outstanding program, and Hannah, of course, one of the best, not just in Caddy or the Lehigh Valley, but in fact, one of the best players in the nation. Joe?
Well, I'm gonna go south to the Washington, D.C. area and give a thumbs up to H.D. Woodson High School, public champions in Washington, D.C., and in an area where, as our interviewer earlier said, you know, there's a lot of big-time basketball. Most of it's private schools. Public schools don't always get a lot of attention. Great job by the H.D. Woodson kids.
All right, Coach Bicker?
I'll have to go back to my family for letting me do what I like to do.
You sacrificed a lot.
You did that last time.
Probably. without their support, it would be tough.
It's a lot of hours.
Long con.
Jessica, you were speculating about 17 different thumbs up things down here. Who did you decide on?
I decided on athletic director, Secretary Kim Sasa, for her pregame talks and everything, and always supplying you with Jolly Ranchers.
Great. Oh, very good. Yeah, Kim does a great job. And Tessa?
I'm going to go back to my family also. My brother, he's off at college on spring break right now.
Yep.
And my younger sister, of course.
Yeah, for calling in.
Yeah, definitely.
And
pushing
the driveway.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Tessa Brugler and Jessica Dernan joining us here. We're going to take a break, bring in some more players to the table, and then a little later on we'll play roundtable and see what questions await our special guests. The Nazareth girls basketball team, fresh off their District 11 4A championship. We'll be back with more RCN Sports Talk right after this.
Chance to interact with us.
Call, email, or tweet us your sports comments, questions, and opinions.
We want to hear from you right now.
And now, here's more RCN Sports Talk.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are the Nazareth girls basketball champions, District 11, 4A, once again. And if you've been with us over the last few years, you know it's kind of a tradition. We had the Calabrese sisters a few years ago kick Joe Craig off the show. And a couple of years ago when you won, Rich, Casey Buehler just kicked Joe right off the show. So we're going to continue that tradition tonight here as we introduce our special guests from left to right surrounding Rich Bickert. We have Alexa Itzinis, Alyssa Catley, and the new co-host of the program, Zoe D'Angelo. So, ladies, thanks for coming in here. Zoe, how does it feel to be a new talk show host?
Oh, great. You know, really excited. It's great to be here.
Well, you got to stay here. We do a good job of kicking Joe off the show, and then after a few weeks, people move on to bigger and better things. So, Zoe, you got to hang out here for a while.
All right.
I'm also told that I'm supposed to introduce this group as the quiet one, the feisty one, and the dancing one. So who wants to go first explaining these nicknames that you've been given by your teammates here? Zoe, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I mean, I'm always fooling around, I guess. And I don't know.
You're getting
I
a lot of blackmail material, Rich. Just repeat this. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I just... I just like being weird. No, I know. And I guess I just dance.
You dance a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
I never noticed you on the bench dancing, but now I'm going to be watching for that
yeah,
in the future.
Yeah.
Next time we have your games, we'll have a camera on your bench.
There you go.
Just to see. Alyssa, how did you get the reputation of being the feisty one? Where did that come from?
I always tend to get one or two fouls in the first quarter. The refs don't really seem
that's
to like
right.
me.
That's right. Yeah, the one game you had like 3 in 5 minutes, didn't you?
Probably. I don't know. I practice and stuff. We kind of fool around, but it gets a little aggressive at times. Oh. And sometimes
she uses her feet. It's a little tripping.
Oh, no. Now, Alexa, before I ask you about yours, would you agree that Alyssa's a little over-aggressive?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, all right, Alexa, I want to ask you, too. You had the game-winning shot against Pottsville. Mm-hmm. What was that like? I mean, people dream about having a game-winning shot, and you actually performed it on a huge stage. So what was that like?
Oh, it was crazy, but, like, definitely I have to give the credit to my teammates because we all touched the ball in that play, and Jess found me open in the end, so.
Yeah, you go, girl.
Yeah. Jess is doing props over there. So, and I think another big key that you've had success with over the years is your defense. So, Rich, I'll start with you about how much you stress defense, and then I'll ask you to cover your ears, and the ladies can say if they like working on defense as much as you spend time on it.
Well, we change defenses a lot. We play a lot of different defenses. Last year's group played 1-3-1, probably as good as anybody. This year it wasn't as good, so we played some man-to-man, some 3-2 zone, some 2-3 zone. So they had to work on a lot of different zones and a lot of different man-to-man. So next year will probably be the same way.
Now, Alyssa, you're a senior, so there's no repercussions here. Do you think the players like working on defense in practice?
I mean, defense was always our strongest point when we came into games, and we work pretty hard on our practice. That's kind of why it gets a little feisty and aggressive.
Oh, so you like working on defense in practice?
I mean, personally, I love defense.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we always practice it down to the very key, and when we go over, like, who we're playing the next day, we always know, like, who we either have on man-to-man, and we know all their different characteristics they have.
Except for Jess, she doesn't pay attention.
Oh, yeah, except for Jess. She already admitted she doesn't pay attention. Zoe and Alexa, how about you? How do you feel about working on defense so much and changing so much as you do?
I love it. It's really my favorite. Yeah, whenever I'm playing, I just get so passionate when I play defense. It just gets so intense. Yeah. It's my favorite part.
Alexa, how about you? Because you had some really good post players. I know we talked about Asia Blunt during the commercial break, but there was a lot of really good post players this year.
Yeah, well, defense is definitely the key to our game, so it's that's important when we win, so it's definitely something that I enjoy working on.
I hate to bring this up, but I want to ask you about that last game against Conestoga. It was a great ball game, got behind early and battled back. Well, kind of take us through the emotion of that game.
Oh, man. I don't even know. Like, at first, I was just...
You were dancing the whole time, right?
Yeah, I was too busy dancing. At first, I was just... I think we were all just nervous at first. We didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
But then we started to pick up our game and just... gel and settle in.
Yeah. And that's an important point because you get the sense that playing around here is different when you go and play on the state level. I know we were out at Reading, the Reading-Emmaus game last night, and there were quite a few people afterwards that said it wasn't the most congenial atmosphere down there during and after the game. Is that something you have to kind of look out for as a coach and kind of prepare? I guess there's no way to prepare them for being on that stage and a different type of atmosphere from what they've ever experienced.
Yeah, and it's definitely somebody that you haven't really played like we play around here 2 or 3 times. You see them on tape, and you're lucky, you see them once in person. So we knew what we were up against, and we just got off to a poor start. And they shot the ball very well the first quarter, so we had a fight to come back. And we did. They played with a lot of heart and soul and came back. And I think we kept going in fast speed because we had to catch up. And when we should have slowed it down at the end, we couldn't do that since we were in that speed-up game at that point. So I think it caught up with us.
Yeah. Alexa, Alyssa, what was it like playing in that championship? Or that first the district championship and then going and playing states against a really good team.
It was a nice way to like end my senior year winning a district championship and going into states. We knew there was going to be some good teams, but working out practice, going over defenses and offenses, we felt prepared. And sadly enough, it didn't come in our favor.
Yeah. Alexa, anything to add on that?
I mean, it felt great to end my high school basketball career with a district championship. And, you know, it stinks that we lost our game in the States. But yeah.
A lot of great moments though this year.
Yeah, I think we definitely played a hard game in the end. So, you know, I can't complain.
All right, our special guest once again, the Nazareth, the girls basketball team, District 11 4A champs. We're joined here at the desk by Alexa Itzinis, Alyssa Cately, and Zoe D'Angelo. I'm told Joe Craig on his way out the door would like to give a final Joe's Take. So he's standing by over in the gallery with this edition of Joe's Take and some friends helping him out here with his edition of Joe's Take.
Well, I don't know about the friends helping me out, but my Joe's Take is very simple. You know, we're down to the last week or so of high school basketball. We've got Bethlehem Catholic girls and Parkland boys still actively going on. And I just want to say there's always been a lot of people in the district and in our area in this Lehigh Valley who have been a little uppity about the success of Parkland and Becca's girls. You know, they've been the top dogs for a while, and there's a lot of jealousy out there. And I would just say this, and we got those two teams representing the Lehigh Valley. We should all be behind them. I would hope that fans all over the Lehigh Valley would tune in, be rooting for those two teams, and be hoping that they can bring some kind of a title back to the Lehigh Valley very shortly. That's Joe's Take.
All right. You know, I think after Mayus's experience with Reading, I think even the Hornets are on board the Parkland bandwagon, too, after that experience. It is nice to see everyone coming together, though. Final segment with the Nazareth girls basketball team right after this timeout. Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest, Nazareth girls basketball team, District 11 4A champs. Joining us here at the table are head coach Rich Bickert, along with Alexa Itzinis, Alyssa Cately, and the new co-host of the program, Zoe D'Angelo. We also have our special guests in the gallery here. They might weigh in because we're going to play a quick game of roundtable here. The roundtable is where we have a variety of different topics of local, regional, national issues that we put before our panelists. And Zoe, as the new co-host of the program, we'll start with you. Topic number one, name an athlete or a team that's better than Steph Curry and the Warriors.
Definitely us.
Oh, a little snack talk there. And you're back next year.
Yes.
By the way, I got a quick email here. I want to get to this. This is from Katie. It says, Zoe, you are adorable and you should be on the dance team. So, Katie, thank you for that. Rich, your thoughts on, is there a better team or better player out there than Steph Curry?
Well, closest player on the girls' side is Victoria Keenan of Northampton.
She's exciting.
Yeah, she's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, for three more years. Yes. You can deal with her. Who wants to go first? Alyssa, you're a senior. We'll go first with you.
I think Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant. Okay. I'm sorry, Alexa. You're a senior, too. Go right ahead.
I said Breonna Stewart.
Breonna Stewart. All right. Very good. Wow. Topic number two. Who's the toughest single player that you face this year? So, Alexa, we'll go right back to you. Oh, wait.
We have someone here.
All right. As long as you're not saying anything.
Not me.
Okay. Tessa wants to weigh in on this. No, Jessica wants to weigh on this.
I think after witnessing Tito's half-court shots, I have to nominate him for being better than Steph Curry.
Oh, okay. We want to see him in action next year.
A little pressure on Tito.
And Tito's back, too, next year. You return a lot of people. All right, topic number two, toughest single player that you face this year. Alexa, we'll start this with you.
I'd have to say Asia Blunt.
Yeah, she's a great player, too.
Yeah, she's strong.
Alyssa?
Shout out to Maddie Capp. She was a great player to play against.
Yep. Was she feisty like you are?
Oh, yeah.
No. I'll just leave that one there. Zoe, how about you?
Victoria Keenan.
Victoria Keenan, too? Mm-hmm. All right. And, Coach, who was the toughest player you had?
The last one of the year, Mac.
Oh, Mac, yeah. Where's she going to play? Bucknell, I think?
Bucknell, yeah.
All right. Topic number three. What's the next big sports event that you're going to be watching on TV now that high school basketball is winding down? Rich, we'll start with you.
NCAA tournament, for
NCAA
sure.
NCAA tournament? Yeah. Zoe?
March Madness.
Oh,
definitely.
Another
NCAA. Yeah.
Girls or boys?
Boys.
Boys, okay.
Yeah.
Alexa?
I'd say March Madness and then the Olympics.
March Madness and then the Olympics, too. That's right. And Alyssa?
The guys' March Madness.
Boys basketball. Okay, unanimous here. But Joe, who do you have over there?
Lady would like to make comments.
I would like to announce that I'm looking forward to watching some NASCAR. Love myself some cars, guys.
Who's your favorite NASCAR driver?
Anybody that wins.
Rich, how do you control this? They're off the wall
amazing.
Over there. What's going on?
That's my assistant coach's job.
Are you sure that, Coach, are you sure that she doesn't, like, live in South Carolina?
I'm not sure.
NASCAR is big down there.
Joe, believe it or not, there are people in this area that like NASCAR.
Just I know that.
People rip you over the summer
that's
for not
a great,
knowing anything
that's
about
a great
NASCAR.
Sport.
All right, topic number four. This is kind of an issue on a national scale. A couple times there's been incidents with fans storming the court. So, Zoe, we'll start with you. Do you think after championship, the fans should pour onto the court?
Definitely.
Definitely? Did they do that for your championship?
No, I wish.
Oh.
We just trampled each other.
You just trampled. Did Alyssa just, like, knock people over?
Oh, yeah. Better watch out.
So, Alyssa, are you in favor of people storming the court, the fans storming the court after a championship?
Absolutely. I think if you win a championship, you should be rewarded with something.
All right. Alexa, how about you?
Yeah, I agree as well.
Coach?
I guess I agree, but I've seen people get hurt. So.
Yeah. It's chaotic after championships anyway, especially now with people taking selfies and parents trying to get pictures and so forth.
I remember seeing one player jump up and do a chest bump and tear her ACL for the state playoff game.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
I even take it a step further, Chris. Not only do I like to see the teams after they win storm the court, I like to see the fans after they win a title because I think that's a way the fans get to really celebrate with the team.
All right, we're cutting you off. My thanks to Rich Becker. Zoe's the new co-host. You're out now. My thanks to Rich Becker and the Nazareth girls basketball team. Thanks so much. Congratulations on your championship, and thanks for joining us here.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next Thursday with another live edition of RCN Sports Talk starting at 7 p.m. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.